Welcome to the May 23rd, 2020 session of TeamSpeak for OpenHBSDR. My name is Dave, KV0S, and this week I've been programming mostly in Go and getting some of those projects caught up. And have been working a little bit on some projects for the Tangerine SDR and a little bit on some resurrecting some old documents from the Tapper website. So that's it for me. Next on the list, we have Henry PA0HJA, shown as recording and away. And then we have Mike AA8K, shown as recording and mic muted. And we thank Mike for posting the recordings to tsarchive.openhbsdr.org. Next we have Phil VK6PH. Go ahead, Phil.
Thanks, Dave. Good morning, good afternoon, evening. Nothing to report this week, I'm afraid. Been busy working on work projects, but keeping up to date with correspondence, and still nice to see folks using their old Atlas-based system. Seems to be a lot of inquiries about that at the moment, so happy to help out where I can. Back to you, Dave.
Well, fine business. And next on the list, we have Bill, KD5TFD. Go ahead, Bill.
Hey, Dave, good evening. Yeah, nothing to report here. Getting buried by work and don't do too much radio at the moment, but looking forward to the long weekend, actually. Back to you.
Well, fine business. We're still getting a few questions about the website, but George Burkett said, oh, Dave and Bill are working on it.
I should endeavor to work on it this weekend, I hope.
Well, good luck. If there's something I can do to help you, let me know.
No, at this point, it's just a matter of me getting the time to go look out.
Okay. And actually, after you get it fixed, I may see if there's a way that I can retrieve the content and make it into web pages so that we don't have to worry about that, since we don't have people creating wiki documents at this point.
Okay.
So, last on the list, we have Bob, VE3GKM, shown as recording in a way. So, we're open for general discussion.
Hey, Bill, did you have a chance to check out the NVIDIA conference?
No, I didn't. I do need to go watch it. It's actually sitting on the screen here waiting for me to get round to it, honestly.
Oh, okay, no problem.
I was actually off today, but for the second time in 3 months, I had electrical problems in the house and have become a unfan of backstabbed electrical outlets, which apparently after about 45 years, they start working their way loose.
Oh, okay. All right. So I hope you managed to fix them.
Me fix? No. Electrician fix? Yes.
Okay.
What?
I was going to mention your mic is much quieter than last week.
Ah, that's the benign neglect theory of maintenance, because it just fixed itself, apparently.
Or it could have been noise from your electrical socket.
God, I hope not, because that was in two rooms away. It was actually out in the kitchen, and it was sort of odd. I went to make dinner last night about 9 o'clock and pulling stuff together and, took stuff out of the freezer, great, took stuff out of the refrigerator, great, blah blah. And it hit me, wait a minute, there's no light on the refrigerator. Looked and sure enough there was no power in the whole bunch of outlets in the kitchen.
Yeah, having the power on the refrigerator off is not good.
Well, it sort of struck me, this is actually particularly annoying, because I thought this was a bad GFCI, and the refrigerator, unfortunately, is on a GFCI circuit, but as he was working on this, I'm thinking of, the damn computers we've got are all dual power source, where they're both on A and B sides of the building, and they're from different, different circuits and the like. And surely I could do the same for my household refrigerator.
Yeah, well, you could. It probably cost you a bit more.
Yeah, it probably would. But we find the issue was I found this out last night about 9:30, and trying to get a hold of an electrician at the beginning of a holiday weekend is a daunting task. But they got her done.
Did you have a way that you could run your refrigerator from the other side of the house or something?
Thankfully, I did. I went out and got out the heavy-duty extension cord and ran that from... Actually, I didn't even have to go that long. I had an outlet within 15 feet that was still functional. So other than the extension cord running across the kitchen, I saved. It was not a total catastrophe.
Yep, I've had a freezer on a bad circuit once, and that was not fun.
Yeah, that has happened to my folks. They actually had it happen while they were on vacation. Unfortunately, my sister-in-law discovered that the refrigerator and freezer had been off for a week when she went into the house and ended up having to clean that whole mess up. But I was very lucky in that I discovered it and could easily fix it with a extension cord. And the other essential thing that was out of commission was the coffee machine, but I could relocate the Keurig to a place with power and at least get coffee one cup at a time.
Well, that's pretty critical these days. Keep you going.
Well, it's sort of funny actually, because a few weeks back I went to make coffee with the regular machine, and damned if it didn't work. And it kept saying, give me water, give me water. And apparently some sensor in the damn coffee machine went nuts. And I ended up having to look around and see. I still had an old coffee maker sitting out in the storage room, had forgotten whether or not it still worked or not, and saw that plugged it in and it actually worked. But at that point I decided, well, okay, coffee machines really need to be a dual sourced item, and there have to be two of them to allow for a single failure.
yep, that's true.
I was also looking for an excuse to get a Keurig machine, so...
Well, they're very nice when you want just one cup of coffee. They're not so good when you want three cups of coffee or so.
Yeah, well, I'd gotten addicted. We have them at work, and I'd gotten addicted to them, and had gotten used to grabbing a afternoon cup of coffee, and then we started working from home, and I started missing the Keurig machine. I said, "Well, don't really need one of those things," and what they the stupid K-cups, what they cost is absolutely criminal. But I will have to admit, those guys built a decent mousetrap, and they caught me.
Yeah, I went on a trip to visit my son, 2 years ago now, but he lives in the D.C. area, and they had one of those in the hotel room. So, and really, coffee is all I drink in the morning. So, that was my breakfast. But I did go get the. I didn't care for the coffee they provided free, and so I bought a little box of my favorite brand of coffee.
Yeah, when I had run into hotels with Keurig machines, I started carrying around my my own brand of K-cups that I prefer, and really preferred that.
Yep, but it was very convenient for the week I was there, so worked out nice. But I was going to ask Phil a question. What board were you using with the platform I/O? Is it the ESP32?
Yeah, using the ESP32. It's called a Vroom 32.
Oh, okay. So I was curious. I've started working with that a little bit, and I saw that board to board, the amount of code that's there varies.
Yeah, you can buy it with different equipped with different amounts of flash. But the nice thing about using with Platform.io and the debug hardware is you connect to the JTAG port, and then you can set breakpoints, and you can change variables on the fly as the program's running. So it's a production, a development environment as opposed to the Arduino IDE.
Yeah, I like it for that. And I've been sitting working on it, but I'm actually working on three projects at once, like always. And so I don't have a lot of time to work on that one.
The only problem I've found, and it seems to be a common problem I've noticed on the web, other people are complaining about, and that is that if you leave the JTAG connector plugged in to the processing board whilst you download the code, it doesn't download properly occasionally. So I've got mine on a ribbon at the end of a ribbon cable, so just unplug it, and then you can download the new code and then plug it back in if you need to do to set breakpoints, etc.
Yep, sounds good. Well, I think I'm set to do some of that work, but have to get a couple other projects off my desk first.
Yeah, I also got a working on a project for using Python on a Raspberry Pi, and that's a pretty. Haven't used Python very much. I did learn it about a year ago, but I haven't used it in practice. But yeah, it's pretty productive, I find.
Yeah, it for me, for a number of years, it was my go-to reformatting program. So if I had a file and it needed to change its format, I would use Python.
So, yeah. Phil, what was the name of the board you were using?
The ESP32.
Yeah, was there a particular version of it you were using?
Yeah, it's a Vroom, WROM 32.
Ah, okay. You're doing Python for reformatting? That's sort of overkill. Awk will do it.
Well, awk or Perl or a whole bunch of things, but this was maybe late 90s when I did that.
Okay, yeah. Python is good. Awk is good. Perl bad.
At that time, I was doing a lot of C++ code and R code, and then I used Python kind of as something simple to read and write.
Yeah, no, I would do that. I've never back in the 90s, I tried Perl for a bit and just found it too annoying with too many ways to do the same things and far too many punctuation characters involved.
Yeah, I had to use it. So I'd been in graduate school in the late 80s. I was working on straight C code, and I got a job, a 5-month job in Italy, as a programmer or as a modeler. And so I showed up. I had code on floppies and stuff, but I said, "Where's the computer?" And they said, "Oh, we don't have a computer for you." So I ended up having to take a little of my salary and buying a laptop. And at that time, it was before the web, so I went to the FTP sites and got Perl and Awk and C and started building code and had Gnuplot to look at the results.
Yeah, it's amazing. It struck me earlier this week how easy it's gotten because I was actually bringing up a new machine and building stuff, and it was a bare virgin, bare metal machine that had been installed, and sat down and went to go fix some config file and Emacs blah blah. Emacs not found. Oh, okay, apt-get Emacs blah blah blah. Few other things couldn't be found. I have to get this, that, and the other thing, and it's really gotten quite easy.
Oh yes, it has gotten much easier. Say, Bill, I got an interesting program that I found the other day. Last year, when we had DCC in Detroit, I was one night Phil Karn brought his laptop down, and he wanted to show us a program he'd written that was a WWV simulator, and he was running on his Mac. And I asked him, where's the code? Where do you have the code? And he said, well, I don't have it, but it's available somewhere on the web. And that's all he told me. And actually ran across it and downloaded and compiled it on Linux, and it worked fine, except it uses eSpeak on Linux. And it sounds very electronic voice kind of sound. So it doesn't quite sound like WWV. And then I compiled it on the Mac, which is what Phil was using, and it has a much better speech program, and it sounds just like WWV. And if you emulate the Hawaii station, it has a female voice, so it's pretty amazing.
Oh, so it's emulating the audio output of it.
Yeah, it does the tick, 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 and then it'll do the hour and the half hour and the... And it was, he got an email once from a guy who was blind, but he picked up and he said, on this kind of time thing, you have a mistake. It's off by one thing. And he said, well, this guy must have listened to WWV an awful lot to be able to pick that up.
Yeah, or potentially read the spec to know it. But that's pretty neat. When you said... WWV simulator is wondering, did you mean WWVB simulator? Because there are folks who have done actual electrical, RF level simulations of WWVB from, say, a NTP stabilized clock to be able to get their atomic clocks in their houses to work when they're too far away from Colorado.
Oh, yeah. I don't think that was what this... I think this was just a fun project to reproduce the sound. It does use an NTP clock, so it's close, but not right on.
Really quick Google comes up with that.
Oh, this would be great. I always go and get a website to make sure that I start the TeamSpeak sessions right on time, and this would be handy because I needed something with seconds, because otherwise it surprises me when the minute changes.
Okay, yeah, the simulator on this one, when you hit play, the audio actually sounds like the WWV.